Dumelang Thobela, and hello and welcome to this week's Newsly Wrap brought to you by the Sowetan Life team. I am your host today, Gwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues Herman Molloy and Nandine Tini. Guys, please say hi for the listeners.
Hi.
Hello.
And thank you so much, guys, for joining. We are the youth of today, bringing you all the things, news, current, and drama and juicy for you to hear. I hope you stick with us as we look at the week's biggest news stories and talk about the controversies and laugh about the weird ones. So obviously there was a lot of things that were going on today that was quite interesting. Not today, sorry. This week that was quite interesting. I mean, first of all, Gayton on Monday started speaking about lists and how they will be releasing people who've been getting fans. And people were like, no, wait, what? No, we're going to be actually seeing people who've been getting our tax money. And Jiggy Jiggy Monday happens and then we don't see a list, right? So obviously we contact the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture and we ask them, so when is this list going to be released? Gayton's spokesperson Cassidy Jacobs tells us not quite yet, we just have to wait a little bit, but it will probably happen after the cabinet lokotla that is happening actually this weekend. But to our surprise, the next day Gayton releases a tweet and says, no, you guys know, man, you think I was playing? I wasn't playing. We will be releasing that list today, and there were quite a few reactions from the public. Everybody was like, this is so great, this is, you know, we're getting to see who's using our public things. While others are like, okay, so now that we know who's using our money, so what now? What must we do with this information? What is the purpose of you releasing this list? What's going on? Thoughts, guys?
Well, I think I'm with the ones that say, so what? Because after you released, and also if I remember well, it was during the COVID times, right, that they released the fans. And you know that artists, they survive with performing and all of that. And most of the time, the government was suspected on not
supporting
them. And then now that they were actually able to support them, now Gayton is like, you know what?
Yeah.
Yay, I'm changing this whole thing.
I mean, he even stopped the trips for the super fans, you know?
Yeah.
But my question now is, are the people who are on the list actually deserving? I mean, we saw who's the guy. Arthur Mathan Mufakan.
Oi, guys. Allegedly chowing our money.
Was he deserving of the cash? I mean, you get to see other artists. There have been struggling artists over time who have come out and say, guys, I need donations, guys, go by the 5 rand, you know? But we didn't see them on the list. Right? But you see people like, Kelly Kumalo's sister was on the list. She's received 20K. Yeah. Do you know what she says on Twitter? Let me read it out for you guys. I found it laughing. So, because everybody was like, is this also not a thing of privacy? Is it not supposed to be confidential, you know? So she goes on Twitter and says, oh, let me just read it out for you guys here. So she basically just says, but like, again, what now? So we are releasing this thing, and also, where's the privacy? Where's our privacy in it? And she basically just says, Horemos, at this point, we must all just sue Gayton and just vele deplete the money at the Department of Home Affairs and all be even then. And then, but somebody's like, and then she goes to say, Kahle, I wanted 200K, but I just got 20K. So why is the fuss? What's the fuss? Somebody in the comments is like, just 20K, CC. That's our tax money. So now it's the question goes on to say, were those the deserving people?
For me, artists suffer a lot. So funding them, it's a source of making sure that they are stable and they manage to pay their debts and everything. They are able to provide for their families. But again, I'm just worried about, was there need to like release the amount? You could have said, okay, the department has spent this much on this number of people. No need for you to say, okay, Herman received 10K. Because it strikes a conversation of, why Herman got 70 and Gwena got 10.
Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah, and then again, there are some artists there who got fans. I don't want to say names, but we saw the fans,
and they were all questionable. Like, and it also just circles back. There was also another problem people had with the list. Yeah. There was a person who was not South African got the money. And a lot of people had a problem with that on some, our tax money, again, is being paid to someone from Nigeria. And it's not a bad thing. We're not saying it's a bad thing, but it's why can't the Nigerian government help him? Why can't we help our own? You know, that's why people are arguing. And again, it's not to say it's a bad thing, but we were all going through things during COVID. Exactly. You know, we're all going through things during COVID. And as as she puts it, they applied, they went through the proper channels, and they were approved. So, but at the same time, I don't think it's a matter of Poppy Act, because he's not really saying, no, this is where they live. This is why they did these things. This is their contact number. Call them. Ask them why, you know?
Again, it's the money they spent years ago.
Exactly, it's money they spent years
but
ago.
But again, what's fun is that we were all crying. They were crying, saying, hey, we don't have money. We're not being booked.
They're exactly getting money. But the other question is, what exactly was the picking criteria for the department? Because we can see there were lots of people there on the list who are actually not even part of sports, arts, and culture. Like, they were not really necessary in the industry, which we would say. So what exactly was the picking criteria for the Department of Sports, Arts, and Culture? What were they looking for when they were approving these lists? I mean, there was a company, I think it was a construction company, that came up many, many times, and people were like, but who? And these ones.
I think with the reasons, we have to rely on what Mackenzie will release today, because he said he's going to give us valid reasons. For now, it's just speculations, you see. Ubabakai Faseminya, he's a legendary. And I mean, I don't think anyone still booked him at this point. So he's deserving for me.
They were definitely deserving. You had, I think Rebecca was on the list, if I'm not mistaken. There was Rosie Madina. There were a lot of people who were actually legendary artists and legendary activists in the game. And yes, they were deserving. Yeah. But they were just other questionable payments that really, really baffled us. I think exactly. You know, especially the last list that he released, there were a couple of 100 people who'd received hundreds of thousands. And you were like, what in the world is my tax money going to? But there was an argument that these are also people who were paying the tax money. So would it not be that technically they also deserved that money? They deserved that money. Because it is, at the end of the day, they are also tax money. They are paying that money. So
we are also taxpayers. So I need to apply then.
No one said come and apply.
Can you please give me the link so that I can apply? Actually, I wanted to respond to one question you asked about foreigners receiving, foreign artists receiving money. I mean, South Africa is very generous, you know. I mean, in terms of health, they come to South Africa. But I want to ask you, do you think, like, we have people who, except those who have money, that will go to Mozambique or somewhere just to benefit?
No.
Because we know Ubaba, the former president, David Mabuza, went to Russia when he was sick.
Oh, yes, the deputy president. The deputy president that nobody knew existed. He was a deputy president that was so MIA that literally everybody was forever asking, where's the deputy president? Where's the deputy president? And he was forever sick, apparently, and forever in Russia. But yet, when you ask them, why didn't you go to the Tembisa hospital?
Yeah.
Why didn't you use the same facilities you say are great? But they don't. They don't. They will praise Tembisa.
But they won't go.
They won't go there.
And it's funny because when other people come this side, they use our tax money. But then when David books a flight to say, I'm going to a hospital in Russia, he books with our tax again.
Exactly. He books with our, it all comes back to our money. It's a very touchy subject. I mean, you are paying tax and somebody's using your money to go overseas, to go on a yacht
because
in Dubai.
He has a headache.
Exactly. It's a very touchy and touch and go, you know. Yeah. Another touch and go, guys, in regards to just money. Shame, hey.
I hadn't even started Nandimara, guys.
Yeah. Shame, Maka is going through a lot. Like, did you guys see her video on Instagram? Yo, guys, let's just take a listen to that clip.
And then they have to use me as an example. No, I can't allow that. I can't allow that. I can't. Even now, they are calling. I can't answer any call. I can't do that. The same people that are calling me here, they want to manipulate me. I can't do that. To use me as an example, I cannot allow that. I didn't eat any money. They must reveal the real people that ate money for them, for the department. They must reveal the real names for the people that we funded. Unlawfully. If I have to die for this, I must die. It's okay. I can't do that. I cannot allow that. I can't. I cannot do that. I've been doing a lot of things that need funding, but no one has been funding me. And I was okay with that. I've never said it. I kept quiet. And still, my statement, I'm not saying it because I want money. I don't want any department money. I work hard. I go to the studio. I record good music. People support me. People book me. I want that money from the bookings. I feel it when I receive it because I worked hard for it. I don't want free money. I don't want it. I was not even fighting for it. I was just being true to myself, telling the truth, being myself. So because of people, I used people to lie to them, living fake life, and then they want me to live a fake life. I can't do that. I've never came to the industry to live my fake life. I've never done that. I've never.
Basically, right, I think Makazi basically went to the BET Awards. She won, was it the best international artist, right? And she told the whole world her story of how, I think we all know Makazi's background at this point, that, you know, she was selling CDs on the street, you know, she was doing a lot. That's how she got to where she is now. Yeah. But that she took out a loan from Mashonisa to go to the BET Awards, right? And from there, people were like, you didn't need to do that. So there was a lot of controversy on the matter. Or you didn't need to take out Mashonisa. You didn't need to go to Mashonisa to get money just to go to the BET Awards, Miguel. And there were some people who further said that, why were you crying in a week?
How?
Why were you crying in a week in English?
Why
weren't you crying in Venda? We could have even felt more sorry for you if you were crying in Venda.
But it
you
makes
see?
Sense. It makes
so really? I think a lot of people were not focusing on the right things, you know. Yeah. They were just diverting. But the question remains, did she need to take out Mashonisa money to just go to the BET Awards? Did she need to cry on live with a wig and cry in English? Did she need to, honestly, also her Durban July, right? Durban July, guys, you know? And like all of the outfits on Durban July were very questionable in its essence, right? but I think I understand that there was a theme to stick to. Yes. But I also think that Makazi should have still stuck to her theme. As somebody from Limpopo, somebody from Uvenda, and I don't know, she could have probably incorporated that also in her outfit. Because at the end of the day, there were some people that, well, my personally, I would argue that sometimes I feel like Makazi sometimes tries too much to be in the spotlight of no, because now I have made the status, I need to keep up with the image. But girl, uja Limpopo. Still keep that Limpopo and still be the Limpopo. There's nothing wrong with being Limpopo, and there's nothing wrong with a business class seat.
How?
But again, with Makazi, you know, it's a topic that Umakazi is always abused.
Yeah.
Whatever she does, she's abused. She was firstly abused about how she looks.
Mm.
And then there's question about her music. So I think it's not a case of wanting to be up to the standard. It's just that trying to avoid being attacked. With her, I mean, we have seen since she got to industry, everyone has been pulling Umakazi.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that gets to her. Hence, sometimes you think, because, for example, in you speak about the video where she's crying in English. I mean, we've been laughing at her letters. We've been, let's say, all of us, we've been laughing on those letters whereby she got some grammar wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So she needed to prove to us to say, guys, I know English, Yobo.
But
so,
she didn't prove to us that she did it in English. My thing is that you're going through something very painful while you are crying.
Yeah.
It's not important to cry in your language. It's not important to cry. That way the people who are your fans.
Yeah.
Majority of her fans are from Limpopo.
Mm.
You will not find Makazi performing in KwaZulu-Natal.
Yeah.
And there will be a stadium full with people.
Yeah.
It won't happen, Abona. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's that thing where she needs to, I think most sometimes artists don't realize who they have fans, and they need to exactly understand their fans, who their fans are, majority of their fans are, and actually like cater to their fans. And if you want your fans' support, I understand, Khuri Yashap, you're going through a painful thing and you want to prove that you know English. Mara, at that critical moment, you're crying. You are crying, you're in pain, and you want people to know that you're in pain. And in the back of your mind, you still have, hey, English.
But then, again, it raises the question, do you really need to go live, or do you need a
video? Exactly. Yeah, our celebrities are normalized. Just to put your phone there and then start crying so that you're going to feel sorry for you.
We
are all going through the most.
Yeah. Definitely.
But taking a video of yourself crying.
I think what I was talking to a friend of mine, that sometimes I think South African celebrities actually think that they're celebrities.
Yeah,
that they are, you know, up there, they're top tier dogs. But at the end of the day, you are nalo and
ratwale.
Sometimes you shop at ShopRite. I sometimes shop at ShopRite. You go to Checkers. Yeah. I go to Checkers. You go to Pep. I go to Pep. We're still the same people at the end of the day. And yes, we're human. You are going through something. But I think sometimes South African celebrities really, really think that they are up there. You know, they think, "Hore, bahau celebu William Smith," and they're not.
It's funny how. You mentioned that we are all equal. This topic, it's one of those they remember when they are going through a lot.
Mm.
But then when they feel they're up there and stuff.
They forget.
They give you a certain treatment and they speak certain way. They look certain way. They flex on your Instagram.
Mm.
But once it gets tough, they start crying. And now we have to come again and say, sorry, sis.
Yeah,
so,
and give us donations.
Give us donations. I think the Makazi situation, I think it'll always be just very tough for her. I think it's in its instance a tough industry just to be in. I mean, you have Uncle Waffles was also bullied by her looks.
Yes.
I mean, half the time people thought she was a man.
She was
bullied as well. There are a lot of people who are in that industry who are bullied, and I think it's just a matter of just toughening up or what does Rihanna say? Rihanna says fake it till you make it.
Mom,
so
you remember what your mom used to say?
my mom says ibalim kokoko. Exactly. And so I think it's a tough industry as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just gonna put it like that. And so now speaking of tough industries, filming is also a tough industry, right? Guys, Queen Mujaji is going to air Kasanta, ne? It's going to air, and we all Queen. No, I must be proud of my, you know, of my culture being shown on TV. But at the same time, there was a lot of drama in court. There was a lot of drama behind the scenes, you know, and just like the way in court. I remember, was it Monday?
Tuesday.
The way in court on Tuesday. Yes. Can you just tell us what was happening in court there?
So The family, the royal family, had approached the Pretoria High Court on an urgent application to interdict the airing of the seas. They're basically saying that we are being misrepresented. You are not showing who we are truly are. And they are also saying that you're using the language that we are not using. You're using the attire that we are not wearing. It's not us. So stop the whole thing. Let's go and discuss if we have to discuss. And then MultiChoice was like, no, but then I'm not focused on you guys. I'm taking this
from
200 years ago. And they were like, you knew about this thing like from last year, and we've been in conversations with Tate Makgetha, the husband of our defense minister. Okay. So, yeah, MultiChoice was like, why now? And why are you saying this is agent? There's no agency in this. And they told the High Court, hey, Joe, scrap this thing. And let us continue, Wabo.
And that's then what the
judge was like, I hear the MultiChoice case because I, like, you knew about this thing. Why approach us before the hearing? And then he was like, again, they said it's something that will that dates back to 200 years ago. I don't see how the Queen will be affected by this thing. And what did he say again, the judge? Yeah, basically he said that, Robo, and then he said, let the show begin, Robo. So Sunday, you are watching the show.
I think for me, maybe it's because it's personal, you know? I think for me, I think when they say that it won't affect the current queen, I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say ignorance is a big word, but there's just a lot of, there is an effect at the end of the day, because this is somebody you are depicting, her ancestor. This is her first ancestor. Sharp, it was 200 years ago. And the thing is, people like to say, no, 200 years ago is a long time. Guys, 200 years ago is like just right here. It's not that long time ago. It's literally still right here. It's quite still fresh. And it's an ancestor for someone else who values that person. And if you're not depicting their ancestor in the right way, I think they sort of have a right to say, but I don't like how you're making my grandmother look. I don't like how you're making my grandmother wear things she would not wear.
Yeah.
Like, I know what my grandmother would wear, but you're making her simukariki something else who's just a token. And I remember one of the quotes that the advocate used was that it's fiction.
Yes.
How is it fiction when it genuinely was the root basis of the culture? It's literally the first rain queen she reigned from 1800s to 1854. And it's a matter that is her culture. That is the first rain queen, and it's fiction. It's like saying Shaka Zulu is fiction.
Yay.
Again, let's look at this way. We know that we need to learn our history. So this kind of thing teaches us something. I mean, you remember that the girl who was acting at Skimsami, she used to be the queen, Monisa Pula. We learned a lot through that thing. So I feel like it's an educational series that should be aired. And if they feel like, Ejo, you have overstepped or you have misrepresented us, as they say, then you'll take it to court and say, this part and that part, it's not who we are. So can you please, like, remove it and issue an apology?
But isn't that what the royal family was at court for, though? Not the full scale, but the small argument was that this part, you are not representing
but
us properly.
They have not seen the whole thing.
But I also feel like, in terms of MultiChoice argument, it's this thing has been airing, like, doing the advertisement and trailers since last year, and you coming a week, just 5 days before the airing of the show, and saying that this and this is not working, is somehow a stumbling block for them. But also, like you said, if you say that something historical that happened years ago for South Africans, you say that it's fiction. then you are disrespecting the entire culture. You, I guess they are supposed to go back to that culture and say, okay, how do you like us to depict this? And I think that's what they did with Ushaga, because that's how people used to wear. And that's how people used to do things. Mm. And now when it comes to another culture that we don't... I don't know Mlobedi. I heard it from you. I thought they were Sipedi and what. But if now I'm going to learn about it in a way that you don't know it, then I'm going to get a misinterpretation of the entire thing. Mm. And it misses its value. Mm. It's, yeah.
It definitely does. Mm. I mean, there's already a misrepresentation of the Bulobedi culture. Mm. It's already misinterpreted entirely. So now with this one, I get what you mean when you say no. Is it not a matter of education? But I think is it not a matter of also teaching the right education? Mm. Yeah. We should be, if it's an educational piece, then the educational piece should be the right educational piece. It can't be something that's half educational and half fiction. It doesn't make sense for it to be like that.
Again, it's a case of, you know, even Sarafina, they will tell you that, hi, this part, we don't know about it. So I guess the production team always get it wrong somewhere, somehow. Mm. So I think Bulubedu should have approached the multi-choice to say, okay, guys, can you please remove this part?
Mm.
Edit and do it like this. This is how it's supposed to be.
Mm.
Bobo. Not to say, Ejo, you are violating us.
Yes, no, take it down.
I mean, they are not even giving us reasons. Okay, I heard one of the reasons is that... Well, this thing was approved by the uncle, and the uncle who does not have authority
to do that. Mm.
I get that. But then, I mean, guys, what's happening with royal families?
I mean, there's a lot of drama with all the royal families, I think, I'd like to say in South Africa.
Yeah.
With the Bulawayo Royal Council, I think one thing is that for sure is that the uncle is going rogue and is not listening to his counterparts and the council, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, the queen is, yes, she's young, but she's still the queen. He needs to recognize the throne and who is on that throne.
Yeah.
And for him to then go and approve something that the queen says, not even probably, I'm gonna just assume here, she probably didn't even know that this thing was going on until probably she also saw it in the news, and she's like, "Hey, but Queen Rini guy." And then when she started asking, maybe that's how it came out. We don't really know the full story of it. Mm-hmm. But now it's a big thing, you know. And I think it also just matters with culture. Every culture wants their culture to be depicted right.
Mm.
I don't want to go out and say, no, Mazulu baso, when Mazulu are not like that. Mm. I don't want to go out and say, Mavenda aso, when Mavenda, they're not like that.
And
so,
I think we are failing in that part in South Africa in terms of respecting each and every culture.
Mm.
It's like we weigh...
One more than the other.
Like,
don't be shy to say we weigh Zulus more than
we are weighing Amazulu too much. And it doesn't make sense.
So, but it is what it is, I guess, at the end of the day. But we do hope that the productions continue to learn and they continue to grow.
But
and
they learn.
We hope that the queen,
and they teach us,
you know, and we hope the show is lovely. I can't wait to see it on Sunday. Speaking of, you know, there's a lot going on and things are very difficult. Guys, Herman told us a story on Monday when he was pitching a story of his, that there was a line on his way to work of basically a lot of hundreds and hundreds of people who were lining up for security guard posts at a security company in Pretoria, and there was only 60 posts available, but like there were thousands of people there. Hemin, do you wanna just give us a little bit of a background on that?
So, you know, when we usually see quarterly states of unemployed, you take it light because it's 30%.
It's numbers.
But, but when you see it happening, it's very sad. Hey, before I moved to Monday, I remember sometime, I think 2 months or 3 months back, there were posts for cashiers at PEP, and they needed two people, but then people who were there, it was like I don't know. It was like we are going to watch rugby. See how packed it gets when we are watching rugby. So on Monday, it was cold. Honestly, it was cold.
It was very cold. I
so normally I take an Uber to the station so to come to work. So I see this line, and then I ask one of my friends who stays close to that place to say, "Hey Joe, what is happening? I see a line." He says, "No, people are there to drop their CV." So I say, "Okay, CV for what?" I thought maybe it will be, okay, it's a security company, it has cleaners, it has what, it has what. They only said, "We want 60 security guards." But then people who were there, like, it's almost 500. So you realize it's sad. And people with qualifications. I mean, one of the gents I interviewed has the following qualifications.
My name is Seva Sivego. I currently hold a diploma in journalism and a psychology degree at UNISA. Graduated in 2020. I'm currently looking for work, graphic design. That's my niche.
And then, yeah, you hear that he has a diploma in journalism and psychology from UNISA, you see. And then the other ones were like, "Ejo, no mayini." And then we had this parent who said they depend on the wife. So basically the wife is the breadwinner. And when we say he depends on the wife, you'll think I'm speaking about a decent salary. But here, how much he gets, the wife gets.
4,000.
It's a very tough position to be in. I mean, really, like when you see, when you hear about the employment numbers, 39%, 38%, you don't see the faces, you don't see it on the ground. So for you to pass by and you see groups, amounts of people, and you ask what's going on, no, we're applying for a position, I might not even get it. It's literally just luck and sheer praying. You're going to be praying. You're probably going to go home and light a candle and pray.
Funny how some of the people who were there were actually saying, "You know what? I just came to try.
To try.
To try. We know we're going to get disappointed, but I'm here to try." But some were saying, "Hey, Joe, they are playing with us because we stood here and then they take our numbers, they take our CVs, and then they will call those they know that they will call."
I think that's one of the things that we are suffering with, like South Africa. They will just put 60 posts. And then 30% of that, you know that it's people from within the company. If I have a sister, I'm Sisingena, you're going to get a job. And then all the other people that were lining there, it's just in vain. And it was cold on Monday to see that at least they still have hope, but nothing happens.
I think it's the most people in Villaville. I think it happens a lot in South Africa where I don't know how to put it this, but it's the circumstances that we are put in that often lead us to do certain things. So if we are a failing, I don't want to say failing economy. Our economy is very bad, and so when people are arguing about, "No, guys, jobs, and you know your aunt Palabora is suffering. She is suffering, and a job just came up in the company that you work in." Obviously, me as a family member, I'm gonna say, "Auntie, apply," you know, and I understand that. Okay, kind of those who just put their aunts there with no qualification,
I don't mean that.
Okay, I just mean sometimes. And the thing is, I was coming across this TikTok. This woman is like, "South Africans, sometimes we gatekeep things that don't need to be gatekept. Why are you gatekeeping a job in an economy like this?"
I mean, it's one of the things that you'll see on TikTok. It's funny to watch, but then it's reality when you look at it. Someone will tell you, you know that there's a position at your workplace.
Apply. Exactly.
So you feel like how some majority you are winning and you're not winning.
You're not winning.
In terms of, let's take for journalism, for example, If you're not gonna tell someone or HO Sowetan is looking for people, that means you're gonna suffer because all the stories will look
exactly. So keep looking up to you.
And again, it's something that you know when you are stressed or you have a lot, you don't become that productive. Mm-hmm. Although we lie during our CV, it's a conversation that we should be having, guys. If you are unemployed out there and you are looking for a job, please email your details to moloyih@sowetan.co.za. Mm. So the reason why I'm saying that is because we're going to run a campaign. We haven't decided on the logistics, but we just want to advise you, profile you, those who are unemployed. So please tell your friends to tell their friends to tell their friends that Sowetan is aiming to achieve this thing to fight unemployment in South Africa.
And just another side note, guys, the Life ECD Mini judgment just came out.
We're negligently caused by the conduct of Miss Dorothy Gadani Masango and Miss Dr. Makhabo Manamela. Miss Masango proceeded to terminate the contract between Life City Mini Care Center and the Gauteng Department of Health, despite numerous expert advice and warnings from the professionals in mental health and stakeholders. The deceased were further moved out of the Life City Mini facilities to NGOs, which were not equipped and inexperienced to give proper and adequate care. The deceased were further moved out of the Life CDMNA facilities to NGOs, which were not equipped and inexperienced to give proper and adequate care in providing the requisite mental health care. The conduct led to the regrettable and unfortunate deaths, some of which have been avoided. Could have been avoided. In respect of Dr. Makhabo Manamela, she proceeded to hastily facilitate the implementation of the plan, the project plan, or what we call the termination plan, against expert advice from professionals and stakeholders. She could have saved the many lives as she visited the NGOs and could see that they were not adequately equipped, and some of the personnel were not adequately qualified to care for the mental health care users.
Hey, that one was a
sad.
That's very sad.
It's a very sad story.
I think for a period of time we kind of forgot about it, and when it came up again, everybody was like, "Oh, Ghana, that happened," and 144 lives gone, guys, just because of negligence, and that is, it's actually just pure negligence. And honestly, what do they call it in regards to crime? I think it's negligence, right?
It's negligence.
So, but like lives are gone, but at least now they will be held accountable for it. But those lives.
I don't know when you say accountability. I don't know how to feel about it because I mean we saw the NPA saying we need to study the judgment, the entire judgment, and then we'll make a decision from there. So there's a possibility that this lady might walk free. And again, I'm happy that they are saying we are going to study it because we have seen many cases withdrawn from court because of lack of evidence or lack of things that needed to be obtained by the state. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know how to feel at this point until the NPA takes a decision to say we are going to prosecute. Yeah. So for me, it's a sad story. I mean, 141 lives.
It's very sad. I think it's a difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing because a lot of families lost a lot of people that day. Like I said, due to just negligence.
And I was doing this story before you weigh in, Nandi. I was doing the story. So before the judgment, we were looking at some of the things she said during the inquest or everything. One of the reasons was like, hey, June, I was told that people die. It's not an unusual thing. I was like, hi, boo. Fuzzy, oh, boo. So yeah, true. And you even if you watch the inquest proceedings from High Court that were virtually, you could see that she was not in. She was not interested in accounting or on what happened. So it really shows how bad our government officials are, especially politicians. They don't care as long as they get it in their bag. They don't care. So I feel like we need to invite organizations like AfriForum to help NPA. Luckily, I saw a statement, Sabo, today. They said they're also studying the judgment.
Okay.
So for me, I'll wait until the NPA say we are prosecuting or we are not prosecuting.
But also, like you're saying, our government and our politicians, they really don't care. Because I think at the end of the day, it goes back to also the issue of Americana. It dragged a lot. It dragged a lot. And they know that, okay, they'll say, she's going through court and all of that. They're assessing the case. But she knows deep down, but you know what? I'm going to walk scot-free here. I'm going to walk scot-free. And plus, I'm no longer in power and... What's the use? And they don't really care about the lives of South Africans. Like negligence, it's something that they could have stopped. They could have prevented it in a lot of ways. Because those lives were vulnerable people. Because I know that it's people with special needs. Yeah, mental health. You can't expect people to stay in those places. Abanga was ukuzenzela next. And then you... say negligence and then
you say but
3 months later we came to a verdict.
The judge said that these NGOs were ill-equipped, so they were not
so suitable. You knew like at the back of you knew that I'm putting these people in this and
I think South African problems are always like quite difficult to come face to face. I think that's why most of the time we do hide behind laughter and jokes. Because there's a lot going on, honestly. And that's all that we can talk about this week, honestly, guys. And thank you so much for joining us on this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review and subscribe for free on IONO.FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production and our producer is Demi Abuzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo, Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena, and my colleagues, Nandi and Herman.
Bye.
Bye.